Hi, this is Stephanie Barton from Angels Insight, and I thought I'd spend a few minutes today giving you a little bit of information about animals from the spiritual perspective. I think it's worth taking a look at this particular topic because animals are such an important part of our lives. We relate to our animals and we love our animals, and oftentimes the love that we share with them is no different from the love that we share with human sources. So understanding these beautiful creatures and how we can best work with them from a spiritual vantage point is very beneficial both for us, and it can be therapeutic for the animal as well. So first of all, I want to talk about our pets. So those animals that are physically in our lives and in our hearts in a very real world kind of way. Pets are unique in that they do not identify with their bodies in the same way that we as humans do. So a cat won't attach itself to its identity as being a particular body of a particular color with a particular style of fur. And that's very beneficial from a spiritual perspective, because when an animal leaves behind its physical body, it has not even a consciousness of alive versus dead. That's a very unique experience that comes from body identification. So if the animal ceases to have a physical body, it doesn't cease to experience life. Oftentimes, that's really difficult for us as humans when we're faced with the decision of putting an animal down. We feel that in some way they're going to be angry, or they think somehow that we've destroyed them or killed them. Animals do not have that concept. So if you have had to make a decision or are facing the decision to put an animal down, please know that the animal, no matter what the animal is or what the circumstance, will not be angry at you, will not resent you, and truly the animal does not even consider itself to have died. That's something that comes from the ego and an identification that comes from the body. Animals know they exist, they know their consciousness, they know they're alive, and they make no distinction in the physical sense of here I am on earth versus here I am in the spirit world. They just know that they are. They just understand that they're alive and that they're vital and that they're whole. Now, when it comes to our tendency to travel through time as souls together, animals are no different from human in that we tend to travel with the same animal spirits through multiple lifetimes and throughout all of eternity. So it is not uncommon to have a particular pet return into our lives the same time in many human lifetimes. For example, you may have a dog when you're young that you identify with and cultivate a very strong connection to, and then the dog transitions into the spirit world, and later on you may have a cat that reminds you very much of the dog. It's entirely likely and most probably certain that it is the same spirit. It just chose to come into a different body. Not because of what the animal needs, but because of what you need. So, as a child, perhaps, you were understanding the concept of loyalty and obedience and working together in communication. And so maybe that was important for that particular spirit or that soul to incarnate as a dog. Well, maybe you understood those lessons and you were able to complete that part of your growth. And then in an adult life, in your adult phase of life, it may be important to understand about independence and the ability to say no and give and take. And so that same spirit may then, for your learning, choose to come in as a cat, because a cat represents those lessons. So again, these spirits are so intelligent and they're so wise that they will choose the body or choose the form that best serves us and that will help us with our own personal growth. And yes, they do have somewhat of a say in that. But yet, the animal, because of their unconditional love and their devotion, will most likely choose a form that is best suited for our needs versus having some kind of their own agenda from which they operate. So animals are truly here to help us and to teach us and to guide us. And our pets are just a living embodiment of those qualities. Now, in addition to understanding that animals do tend to travel with us throughout time and in many different lifetimes, it's also important to know that animals have a tendency, because they don't identify with their bodies and they don't have guilt and they don't have all these human attachments that we have, that they have to process and work through in the spirit world, because they don't have all that karmic stuff or all that baggage, they can really easily and quickly travel from one body into another. So as I mentioned earlier, it wouldn't be uncommon to have the same animal spirit return into your life a couple of different times in one human lifetime. And that's not as common in the human consciousness, but it is more common with the animals and with the pet consciousness. So do know that if you have a suspicion that your current pet is a reincarnation of a previous pet, then again, most likely you are right. Again, the animals don't fear death because they don't have a concept of a physical death or of a cessation in their existence. They know they're alive, and they always will be, and they trust that moment. Animals don't have a concept of time like we do, and so for them to think about the past or for them to worry about the future is simply impossible. Therefore, again, comparing what it was like when they were in a physical body versus what it's like in their spiritual state has no meaning for them because they simply don't have the consciousness to comprehend that. That is, they really don't have the ego attachment to create that kind of thinking. So, in one way, I think animals have it easy as far as that goes. I think we do a lot of needless suffering for ourselves by holding ourselves to time and attaching ourselves to the past. And animals, in their wisdom and their innate trust in the moment and their allowing themselves simply to be, don't have those kinds of hang-ups like we do. So when it comes to healing your animal, there are two particular beings that I would encourage you to work with. One is Archangel Raphael. And I just love Archangel Raphael. He's an amazing source of strength and comfort, and his specialty is healing, but he has a very particular fondness for animals. So if you do have an animal who's in pain or who's having some kind of physical problems, and you want to provide comfort or you want to be of service to that animal, you can just simply think of Archangel Raphael or ask him to be with you, ask him to bring comfort to the pet, and he will help you to feel assured and to feel peace, and will surround the situation with your animal with healing grace and loving presence so that there doesn't have to be fear and there doesn't have to be suffering or any kind of unwanted experiences such as that. Archangel Raphael is usually associated with the color green. So if you see little green sparkles of light around your animal, or if you meditate and you see a beautiful green mist, you'll know that that's Archangel Raphael's presence. Now, in addition to Archangel Raphael, I do want to mention that pets have their own guardian angels. So if you have a cat, your kitty cat has its own spiritual guardians. Now, typically, these beings of light are not what we think of as traditional angels. They're more like nature angels or what you might call fairies. So your cat has a guardian fairy who oversees and watches and keeps them safe and enlivens them with a sense of playfulness and just a good overall sense of fun. Animals are very inclined and natural at seeing spirits. So if you do notice your cat or your dog staring off behind you or looking up into space and seeming to be transfixed by something, do know that more likely than not, the animal is seeing angels or spirit helpers who are present in our midst. They don't question that. They see it. They don't doubt it. And so they experience it. So when you do notice your animal doing that, pay attention and go within and see if you can figure out who it is that they're seeing. Or you can ask the animal who they're seeing and wait for the answer, because they'll answer. The answer will always come to you. So your pets have Archangel Raphael to call on, and you've got their own personal guardian fairies. And then St. Francis is another really wonderful and loving being who you can think of or who you could connect with in your heart to help bring you peace and to help fill you with an awareness of your own healing abilities so that you can be of comfort to your animal and so that your own spirit can experience comfort as your pet may be suffering or ill or lost. But those beings are very wonderful resources to help you find peace and comfort when it comes to dealing with your own animals and with your pets. So pets are such a wonderful blessing in our world. And again, I want you to know that when they do transition from a physical body into a spirit, it doesn't have nearly the effect on them as it does on us. They know they're alive. They are ready for the next adventure. It is very easy, relatively speaking, to communicate with animals. It's trusting it that's hard. And that's true with intuition and a lot of our spiritual communications. You can talk to your pets, and you can listen to what they say. And truly, it's not that difficult. It's trusting it that really provides a challenge for most of us as humans. So experiment with it over the next couple of days. Just ask your cat, how are you feeling? And wait for an image or a word or a sound. Animals most typically will communicate in symbols or colors or emotions because they don't use language in the same fashion that we do. So if you're asking your cat how they feel and your heart is filled with a sense of warmth, then you could interpret that or communicate that as love. If you're asking your cat how they're feeling and suddenly in your mind you see an image of a food bowl, then maybe the cat is communicating to you that he or she is hungry. So if you'll start just making it fun and experimenting with it and practicing with it, and most importantly, trusting it, I think you'll realize that it's no more or less difficult to communicate with a cat than it is to communicate with a person. And sometimes it's a little bit easier, in fact, but that's another class or another talk that I can do. So those are some highlights about working with pets, with our pets who are part of our hearts and part of our lives. Next, I want to spend just a few minutes talking with you about the idea or the concept of totem animals. Now, totem animals are a Native American or an indigenous tradition, and it's the concept of utilizing the archetypal energies that any particular animal represents to help enliven us on our spiritual journey. So if, for example, you're using a totem animal of a bear, the bear symbolizes power and strength. And so in working with that particular animal, what you're doing is bringing to life the consciousness within you that is strong and powerful. So totem animals are helping us activate these inner qualities by representing those things in an animal form. So dolphins are about being able to breathe and to go with the flow. And they're also about being able to hear our intuition and to receive divine guidance through our inner hearing. Now, the dolphin doesn't give us those qualities. The dolphin totem will help us to activate and claim those qualities within us. So you have everything you need inside of you right now. But to go back to the bear totem, maybe you've hibernated your strength, or maybe your power has gone dormant because of fear. What the bear does is say, wake up, power, wake up, strength, it's time to rise and shine. So all that you need is within you. Working with totem animals is valuable because it will help you to reconnect and remember that those qualities are within. And yes, maybe you've forgotten them, or maybe you haven't yet connected with them, but it's never too late because they are all there. You are whole and complete, and the totems will help you to connect with those inner qualities. So when you're looking at a totem animal, there's a couple of things to observe. The first step in working with animals with totems is number one, to observe. So there's seven, actually eight things I want to talk with you about to observe when you're looking at an animal and considering how to utilize its qualities as a totem. The first thing is just to look at its general overall appearance. Is the animal large or small? Is it covered in fur? Does it have feathers? Just kind of take note of its body structure and shape and covering and its overall the way it looks. The second thing to pay attention to with a totem animal is its diet. Does it eat irregularly? Does it eat primarily things from the earth? Does it eat mainly carnivorous diet? So evaluate the type of feeding pattern that the animal has in order to observe and understand more about what this totem is helping to activate within you. You also want to look at how the animal protects itself, or if the animal is a predator, how it attacks. So if you have a cat as a totem, you'll want to observe how does the cat maneuver in situations when it is needing to get something at once. And cats will become quiet. So maybe in your life it's important to become quiet and find all the information out before you make a decision. So you have to look at how the animal deals with danger or threat, or how it goes about getting what it wants. Its ability to protect itself, to defend itself, and also how it attacks, or the style in which it gets what it wants. Also, the daily rhythms of the animal is important. So looking at, is the creature primarily active at the dawn hours, or is it active at night? Being aware of the animal's rhythms is very important. Also noting when the animal is most active as far as the season of the year. So hummingbirds, we usually see those in the summertime. So maybe that's an encouragement for you to be out and get active in the summertime, and maybe take things more easy in the winter. But you have to pay attention to the seasons in which these animals are the most visible or the most active. Look at the coloring of the animal. So if you're seeing a red fox, what does the color red mean to you? And what do you need to activate within you that is called forth from working with this energy of the color of red? Red is about passion and vitality. So if you're seeing a red fox, maybe that's a reminder for you to be passionate and to find the things that really enliven you. So the color is really important to pay attention to, too. Another quality is the habitat of the animal. So does the animal build an elaborate home? Does it live underground? Does it live in a tree? How does it go about sheltering itself? And as you observe that quality, that will help you understand more about how you could create your sacred space, or how you can relate to spirit. So if it's an animal, for example, like a rabbit that burrows underground, maybe the rabbit is teaching you that you need to go within yourself. You need to go and withdraw your attention from the outer world and pay attention to your heart when it comes to making decisions. If it's an animal that is a tree-dwelling creature, maybe that represents you need to go into your mind and look for inspiration in order to find answers. So paying attention to the animal's habitat is really important. And last but not least, looking at how the animal procreates or how the animal parents or mothers is very important. So if you have a kangaroo as a totem, looking at the pouch and how the mother kangaroo keeps the infant closely nestled for quite a bit of time, maybe it's important for you before you birth a new creative project or before you start something new. Maybe you need to let it sit within you for a while and work with it and grow it and cultivate it instead of just throwing all your ideas out as soon as they pop into your mind. Maybe it's important for you to relate to people in a style where you do empower them and then let them go, like a mother bird. Eventually, the baby birds have to fly on their own. So maybe there's co-workers that you've been doing their work for them, and a robin shows up in your life as a totem, and the robin is teaching you, you've got to let these birdies fly on their own instead of doing the work for them. So paying attention to the parenting, procreation, and breeding of the animal is very important. So those eight qualities, again, just to sum up, pay attention to the appearance of the animal, the diet, the level of protection, and the manner in which the animal attacks, daily rhythms, the season or the cycle of power that the animal has, the coloring, the habitat, and the breeding and parenting style of the animals. When it comes to totems, look at those eight factors, and that'll help you start to understand what you need to know to empower yourself, what qualities you can activate within your life in order to heal and grow and to thrive at whatever point of your spiritual journey you happen to be on. And I want to mention one more thing about totem animals. Each of the four elements has a representation in the animal kingdom, and all of the four elements also correspond with the quality of our human experience. So if you happen to have a totem who is primarily air-dwelling, such as a bird, that would represent overall the element of air, but also the quality of you of thought processes and communication and mental concepts. So if you're seeing a hawk, it may be teaching you to learn more about spirit, to become more conscious of how you are being inspired, to be aware of your thoughts, to think higher thoughts, to elevate your thoughts. So the air element is about thoughts and what we're thinking and our beliefs that we have. Water creatures, such as dolphins and fish and crabs and things such as that, so water dwellers represent the emotional part of our human experience. So if a dolphin comes into your life, be conscious of your emotions. Be conscious of what you're letting go of or what you're holding on to. Just be aware of your emotional state and how you can become more conscious of that. And use your emotions as information that can then shape your thoughts. So emotions do provide us with valuable information. And we can utilize the power of those emotions to make clear decisions for ourselves and to alter our course or to do more of that which brings us pleasure. The earth element, which would be most of the animals that you think of walking on four legs, the earth element is about our physical life, about our physical well-being, and how we are connected to our life and to our home and to our relationships. So they're about our incarnation, so to speak. So if you are seeing bears or elk or deer, these animals help us make the most of our physical experience and of our physical life. So maybe you do need to take more time to nurture yourself. Or maybe you do need to create more space in your home. The earth element is about our physicality and our vitality, our abundance and our material wealth, things such as this. So that's what the earth element and those earth creatures can help us become aware of. And then the fire element, which would be things such as dragons or dragonflies, those creatures help us to activate our passion, to find vitality and strength and sensuality and a desire. And that's important sometimes, because sometimes we go through phases where we exist or we just get by. And this fire element, these animals of passion, can help re-enliven us to have a desire to live, to have a desire to grow, to want those things, and then to go about seeking those things. So the fire element is very important. The dragon is one of my favorite totems to connect with, because it does represent that power and that passion and vitality. So it's a very valuable resource if you are feeling indecisive or stuck or a little bit weighted down by whatever's going on in your life. So those are the four elements to be conscious of, to look at when an animal presents itself to you. So how do you get a totem? Well, you just choose a totem, or the totem chooses you. Sometimes, in some traditions, when a child is born, the child is given a totem, and that will be their lifetime totem. In my spiritual practice, and in my belief, I think we can work with different animal totems at different phases in our life. So when you're a child or when you're an adult, you're young and free, maybe a dog is a great totem for you. But then when you start your working adult life and you have a lot of duties and responsibilities and you're establishing yourself in, say, a leadership position, maybe at that phase an elk would be a more appropriate totem. So totems can and do change, and that's very appropriate because there's different qualities that we need to call forth in our lives as we grow and change. If you're wanting certain qualities, think about an animal that represents that, and then get a picture of that animal. So going back to our bear, if you're wanting more strength, and if you're wanting a little bit bigger concept of power, or to see yourself as being strong, get a little bear that you put on your desk that you can look at while you're working. These are very important qualities. So do realize that you can ask a totem to be with you, and you can work with that totem, and that's completely appropriate. Or a totem can choose you. So if you're out and about driving and you see a little fox scurry in front of you in the road, the fox has a message for you and wants you to pay attention. So anytime you see an animal out and about, do pay attention and realize that that animal is a teacher and is offering you a gift. And I believe that nature is a gift to us, that all of life can offer us something. We can learn from everything that we come into communication with. It's no different for animals. So if a cardinal shows up, ask the cardinal, what are you teaching me? What do I need to learn? And you'll be amazed at the beautiful lessons that can come forth from nature. So when you're working with totem animals, observe and assess, pay attention, and then apply, how can I now do this in my life? If you're working with an animal who's primarily vegetarian, then maybe that means it's important for you to eat more fruits and vegetables and maybe let go of some of the other stuff that you're eating. And then apply. So you observe and you understand, appreciate, and then apply the knowledge to your own life. And some really good and wonderful changes can emerge as a result of that. So again, I believe that nature is one of the most amazing and intelligent teachers that we could ever ask for, ever hope to come into communion with. and it's right here for us. So over the next few days, just quietly sit and observe and ask if there's any teachers who would like to present themselves to you now. But most importantly, remember that all these qualities are within you. Animal totems just remind us of that and help us to connect that and to believe in that. So they are wonderful gifts, wonderful creatures that we can work with. I appreciate your time and thank you for listening. I didn't really have an outline, just kind of sat down and go on the fly. But if you do have any questions, you can post the questions onto the wall, and I'm happy to answer them. If you're interested in meditation for meeting your totem animal, please let me know that too, and I could record something along those lines for you if anyone's interested. So just let me know. I appreciate your feedback. Have a wonderful day, and again, thank you so much for your time, and my love to you. Thank you.